God. And as a way of reminder, an attribute is a character or a quality that describes the nature or the essence of God. And these help us to understand better who God is and what he is like. But we must always remember that our minds are incapable of fully understanding an incomprehensible God. Our vocabularies are insufficient to define or describe a God who is beyond description. He is beyond the limits of our finite minds, and we often fail to remember that. Many times we are guilty of trying to squeeze God into a box, into what we think or into what we want or into what we can understand. But we must never do that, because God is beyond what we can understand and beyond what we can define. And as a way of reminder, as an example of the infiniteness of God, he says to the prophet Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And when we have conversations with people in the world, those that even would agree that they are Christians, who would profess to believe in Jesus Christ, they would still try to define God in such a way that they could define him in a way that they could fully understand him or attempt to even explain him. But it just can't be done. So we must always remember that even though we go through these theological concepts and we use these words that help us understand who God is and what he is like, really and truly, he is beyond our understanding and beyond the definitions that we would ascribe to him. So far, we have looked at four of God's attributes. First is that he is self-existent. As a part of the self-existence of God, he is eternal. He has always been, he will always be. And that is difficult for some people to grasp, because for us, everything has a point of beginning, yet God does not. God has always been. And as an extension of the self-existence of God, or even the eternality of God, he is infinite. The infiniteness of God means that he is beyond our ability to understand, a mathematical concept, incalculable, unquantifiable, innumerable. And as an extension of these, God is also perfect. He is without flaw. He is without any deficiency. He is absolutely perfection personified. And yet there is really and truly nothing in our world that is perfect. Yet God is all of these things. Secondly, God is immutable. God never changes. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He will always be the same. In his essence, in his character, God never changes. God is self-sufficient. He has never needed anything from anyone for anything. We live in a constant state of need from the very beginning of our life to the end of our life. We are always in need of something from someone, yet God has never needed anything. These first three attributes are so interdependent that to take any one of these away erodes the others. Last time we talked about God being omnipotent. When we talk about the omnipotence of God, we talk about the infinite power of God. His infinite, immense, immeasurable power is best seen in this world that God has created. He simply spoke and the world came into being. We talked a little bit about what God created, the vastness of our own galaxy, the Milky Way, and we marvel at what we can see that God has made. When we consider what astrophysicists and astronomers tell us, that there are likely hundreds of billions of galaxies beyond our Milky Way, many of these larger than our Milky Way galaxy, and that these galaxies are separated by trillions of miles, our finite minds cannot grasp the power that it would take to create all of that. How could God do that? What would it take for God to create not only the world that we live in, the galaxy that our world exists in, but hundreds of billions of galaxies separated by trillions of miles? How could God possibly do that? Well, the Bible doesn't specifically tell us how God created the heavens, but the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible goes on to tell us that God created the detail that we know in the world simply by speaking it into being. The truth is, with Genesis 1:1 and everything that follows, we are forced to either believe it or we reject it. There's really no other alternative. And that is simply true for each of these attributes that we look at, because this is what the Bible tells us about who God is. Now, number 5 is God is omniscient, or God is all-knowing. This, like the others that we have examined so far, is called an incommunicable attribute, meaning that it is possessed by God alone. Mankind cannot possess this or any of the other attributes we have discussed thus far. A simple definition for omniscience is the state of having total knowledge, the quality of knowing everything. Now, that's a very rudimentary definition, but I want to expand upon that just a little bit. Think about it like this. Because God is infinite, his knowledge is also infinite. Knowledge without end. Because God is perfect, his knowledge is also perfect, without deficiency, without flaw. Because God is eternal, his knowledge is also eternal. God knows everything, past, present, and future. Listen to this. This is a theological concept, and as you begin to think about this, it really begins to boggle the mind into what this means. Because God is the first cause of all that exists, the Creator, or ever will exist, the future, including every free action, that means everything in the future is fully known and eternally present to God. Let me repeat that without the breaks. Because God is the first cause of all that exists or ever will exist, the future, including every free action, is fully known and eternally present to him. Because God is eternal, without beginning, without end, everything that has happened and everything that will ever happen is already known to God. His knowledge cannot increase because God is infinite, because God is eternal, and because God is perfect. And because all of that is true, God's knowledge cannot decrease. He cannot learn anything. He cannot forget anything. God knows everything that can be known. God knows the great mysteries of the world. God knows everything that will ever be known by mankind. God knows everything that mankind will not know. Now, when you begin to think about it, you begin to scratch your head and go, well, wait a minute. God knows everything that can ever be known, and God knows everything that mankind will never, ever know. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Have you ever known a know-it-all? What is that like? How enjoyable is it to have a know-it-all in your life? Is a know-it-all ever wrong? Does a know-it-all ever possess any humility? Do you ever grow weary talking with a know-it-all? I've had some know-it-alls in my life, and it gets to be really difficult, doesn't it? Why? Because they know everything. You can't even have a real conversation with them because they're always correcting you. They're always belittling you. They're always putting down your opinion. It's impossible. I've known some pretty intelligent people in my life, and many of them have been very, very interesting, but none of them have ever known it all. In the world, there is a tool that measures how smart people are, the IQ test, the intelligent quotient test. Now, there's a lot of debate about how accurate these tests really are. Average intelligence is measured at a score of 90 to 109, and genius is measured at a score of 140 or higher. And by the way, 0.4% of the population tests at 140 or higher. The highest measured test score ever recorded, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, was 228 by Marilyn Vos Savant. Have you ever heard of Marilyn Vos Savant? Probably not. She ended up being a newspaper columnist titled Ask Marilyn. I never heard of her. Here's some of the distinguished things Marilyn has been involved in. She served on the board of directors of the National Council on Economic Education, on the advisory boards of the National Association for Gifted Children and the National Women's History Museum, and as a fellow of the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. Toastmasters International named her one of five outstanding speakers of 1999, and in 2003, she was awarded an honorary Doctor of Letters degree from the College of New Jersey. Now, I'll be honest with you, with a score of 228, and I read these distinguished honors, and I go, that doesn't sound very impressive to me, does it? I mean, it really doesn't stand out to me. I wasn't going to do this, but our friend Ken, who is not here today, his accomplishments really stand out. I don't know what his IQ is. He's co-authored a book on polymers. He's been a part of 11 different patents. Ken is a very intelligent individual, and he's always full of very interesting conversations. But as intelligent as Ken is, and as Miss Savant is, there's a limit to what they know, and there's a limit to their capacity to what they can know. They will never be able to know all things. They cannot know perfectly. They cannot know infinitely. And they cannot ever know what is going to happen in the future. As a contrast, God knows everything. And he knows everything that has happened from the beginning of time and everything that will happen to the end of time as we know it. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10 says this. I'm sorry, I didn't put the description up there, the definition up there. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, the end of time to the beginning of time, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God not only knows everything past and all things in the future, He also knows the universe that he created. He has even named every star. Psalm 147, 4 and 5. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. When we talked about the omnipotence of God, we looked at the scope of God's creation in the universe. But let's isolate just the planet Earth and see the knowledge of God that was involved in what he created. Here are some amazing facts about planet Earth as it relates to God's knowledge involved in what was required for life on Earth. The Earth is the perfect distance from the sun, allowing it to neither be too hot nor too cold, as it is for other planets in our solar system. The same is true for allowing water to exist, which is necessary for all known forms of life. If Earth were just 1% closer to the sun, water would not exist and life on Earth would not be possible. If Earth were 1% further from the sun, the oceans would likely freeze over, making life on Earth difficult, if not impossible. Earth's atmosphere is rich in oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, and sulfur, which are all necessary for life. The atmosphere also provides protection from harmful radiation and micrometeoroids. It also plays a crucial role in regulating temperature. Earth has a strong magnetic field that deflects harmful solar and cosmic radiation. This magnetic field is generated by the movement of molten iron in Earth's core. Without this magnetic field, life on Earth would be significantly impacted by radiation. The presence of gas giants like Jupiter, which can help deflect asteroids and comets, also contributes to Earth's habitability. Earth's relatively large moon helps stabilize the planet's rotation and tides. Active plate tectonics, which recycle minerals and contribute to atmospheric composition, are also unique to Earth. The Earth's speed of rotation and axis angle affect everything from the shape of the Earth, which is slightly flat at the poles with a slight bulge at the equator, the length of days, months, and years, the seasons in the years, the daily tides, the wind, and the ocean currents. Changes in the speed of rotation or the axis angle would have a catastrophic impact on weather, the oceans, temperatures, and life in general, with many concluding that life would be nearly impossible on Earth. When you look at planet Earth and compare it to everything we know about our own solar system and universe, it is incredibly clear that life is not just an accident or the result of some magnificent explosion billions of years ago. Life on Earth is the result of an infinitely knowledgeable God who knows everything, putting all the pieces into place so that we can live on this planet. When you explore the uniqueness of the Earth and make just slight changes to Earth composition, distance from the Earth to the sun to the moon to the Earth, its axis angle, its rotation speed, all of those things that make life unique, minute changes make life on Earth nearly impossible. It reinforces the fact that God is omniscient. It underscores what we read in the Bible earlier. I am God. There is no other. I am God. There is no one like me. You know, it boggles my mind that some of the most brilliant minds in our scientific community who study astrophysics and physics in general, and look at the interdependency of all that makes life on Earth unique, have come to the conclusion that life is the result of some accidental occurrence billions of years ago, and it just kind of came to be. It's a very simple example, but it's like taking hundreds of pieces of a wristwatch and putting it in a box and violently shaking it and opening the box and finding a perfectly functioning wristwatch. What are the odds? Zero. Yet they conclude that life on Earth happened just that way. When we look around at this amazing world that we live in, we can be reminded of this truth each and every day, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As amazing as God's omniscience is, as seen in creation, it isn't limited to just the wonder of creation. I didn't do this, and I'm not going to do it here, but we could break down the amazing function of the human body, the interdependency of everything that makes our bodies work, and yet the scientific community has concluded that we have evolved from the most simplest of life forms into what is the most complex living organism on the planet. Perhaps the greatest evidence of his omniscience is the fact that God takes notice of you and me. King David posed this question, as recorded in the Psalms. When I consider your heavens, what he could see with the naked eye, not what he could see with the most powerful telescopes man has ever created, not what could be seen with space exploration in the 21st century, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? I want you to think about that. When you take a look at the picture of our galaxy, the Milky Way, that pastry-shaped swirl that he sustains, just by saying sustain it, by thinking it, by creating hundreds of billions of galaxies spread out over hundreds of billions of miles, that God has thoughts of you and I. That God cares for you and I. It is an amazing truth that this majestic God isn't a distant deity. He isn't a far-off God that cannot be known, but he has revealed himself as a relational God that wants us to know him, that has invited us into a relationship with him as a heavenly Father, a personal God that wants to know us and wants us to know him. What is perhaps one of the most descriptive passages of God's Knowing us and care for us is found in Psalm 139. A couple of excerpts from that. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. God searches our hearts and knows the truth about who we are, about how we hurt, about what we need. God knows everything there is to know about us. Our comings and goings, our daily activities, our needs and our desires, our accomplishments and our failures. He knows our very thoughts before we even think them. He evaluates our path, where we go and why we go there. From the first thing in the morning until we go to bed at night, God knows it all. Before we even speak the words that are being formed in our mind, God knows what we will say, why we will say it, and the outcome of the words that we speak. God knows it all. In fact, this psalm goes on to tell us that God knew us before we were even born. Verse 15 and 16. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. The scope of our life is known by God. From the very first moment of conception to the last breath we're going to breathe, God knows it all. Jesus brought this same kind of intimate omniscience into his ministry. In Matthew 9, 4 and 12, 25, the Gospels tell us that he knew their thoughts. In Mark 2, it tells us that he knew their hearts. In Luke 6, it says he knew what they were thinking. He knew about people's lives before he had even met them. He knew the woman at the well in John chapter 4 that she had had five husbands, and the man she was currently with was not her husband. In John 11, he told his disciples that Lazarus was dead, even though he was 25 miles from Lazarus's home. And in John chapter 1, he knew the heart of Nathanael before he had ever met him. Jesus speaking, he says this in Matthew chapter 10, are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. A sparrow is widely considered one of the least significant birds, and yet God knows when one of these birds falls to the ground. God knows when any and every animal in his creation dies. And that statement by Jesus is followed by this: the very hairs of your head are numbered. God's omniscience is a two-edged sword. On the one hand, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our sin. He knows our stubbornness. He knows our rebellion. He knows our faults. He knows our failures. He knows how apt we are to wander away. But he also knows our need. He knows our desires. He knows that deep within us, we desire to serve him, to love him, to please him, to be faithful to him. And because God is kind, because God is gracious, because God is merciful, God is willing to forgive us. God is willing to cleanse us from our sin. And he's willing to do that only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of any religious effort, not because of any morality, I wonder how amazed we are. That this God who knows everything loves us with this infinite, perfect, unconditional love. That was perfectly displayed through the death of Jesus on the cross. In that infinite knowledge of God, knowing that post-salvation, every sin we would commit, every dishonest word we would speak, every disobedient act, every dishonest thought, and yet he still called us to salvation. He still chose to cover us in the blood of his Son. So when we look up in the clear blue sky and we see the stars that just scream of an awesome and amazing God that knows us, what is our response to that? Would you pray with me, please?